on, keep on, keep striving for this religion that we preach. Keep on, keep on, keep pushing, for nothing's ever right or free.
And welcome to another edition of the Luton Town International Podcast, where we seem to have a few defeats to speak about, unfortunately. Gav has just been attacked by his selfie lights. He has a selfie light, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, everyone's watching.
Yes, I do.
You can see it in his glass, in fact.
It brings out my features. It brings out my features.
Yeah, that's kind of light.
Too dark, are we doing?
Right. So, I mean, we'll jump around a bit. So, obviously, the one that really doesn't matter was the Cup game against Man City. And we came up against an absolute freak who was on absolute freak form. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about that, is there?
No. I mean, here's the thing. Like, obviously, the plaudits because of the five goals are going to go to Haaland. And rightfully so. When you score five goals in any game, you should be applauded. But Jesus Christ, Kevin De Bruyne. Holy shit. Like, he's a cheat code that you get in the game. That's what he is. Like, it's just...
I mean, I'm not going to sit and praise him too much because it's not the bloody Man City Kevin De Bruyne podcast. It's, I think it's just sort of... They had an understanding. We went out thinking, right, well, there's no point going out sort of to try and get a draw because it's a cup game. So why on earth would you do that? We did get a couple of goals, but end of the day, it's just something, you know, a team like that who's cost about £1 billion, probably is about £1 billion, players like that, our squad, 20 million, it's going to happen occasionally. Better it happens in a cup game than the league.
Yeah, and if you don't like me praising other teams' players, you're going to hate it when we get to Villa.
I will be slating on that. That almost looks like a Newcastle like you've got.
It's a Dublin All-Ireland champion, 6 in a row cup. I learned my lesson from the hat that looked like Villa that one time. I don't do anything like that anymore.
Glad to hear it. Right, so I think a couple of the other games is jumping around a bit. Liverpool game, we're in it for half a game. We did something teams don't do at Anfield, which is score and take a half-time lead. But then after that, I think it's... I think Rob Edwards, there's the interesting point there. He made the point, the atmosphere was that loud that basically the players couldn't hear each other's instructions. I think that's something you don't come across too often, especially not the Premier League.
No, and it's a learning curve, right? Because now you've got to find ways that if you come up against that situation again, how do you deal with it? Like if we're in this league again next season, we know we have to go to Anfield. How do we deal with that? You know, I heard stupid things about, you know, Arsenal's Arteta bringing in different stuff for Arsenal. But I mean, when you have a manager come out and say something like that, it makes sense to do it, right? It makes sense to not even to drown out the crowd, but to just be able to get your point across, be able to get what you want the players to do, get that across to the team. But yeah, the Liverpool game, I mean, we hung in there for 45 minutes, but at the end of the day, what we often say about City, you know, millions and millions and billions of pounds worth of players against 20 million, it's the same with Liverpool. Liverpool like to talk like they're the paupers of the Premier League, and I'm guessing like when you put them up against the likes of City, everyone's paupers. But at the end of the day, Liverpool spent a lot of money on that team, you know, just as much as some other Premier League teams that are in that race right now.
And also came out the whole thing about some injury crisis. They're playing the kids. These are kids who probably cost them a fair bit of money, you know, swoop from other sort of leagues and everything else. And I think, well, you saw it in the League Cup final, they said playing the kids. And lots of things people point out. Their starting 11 playing the kids was actually older than Chelsea's on average. So it's a bit of a false narrative there.
Yeah, but it always is with Liverpool. You know, it's always the fact of, oh, we do things a certain way. You just don't really. You know, like...
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact they've got...
Who's the last player... Who's the last player to come through the Liverpool Academy that you can think of that really made an impact?
I don't know. I don't pay
attention. Probably Trent, right? It's probably Trent. And before that was Gerrard. They don't get too many coming through the academy. They're a buying team. And we know this because they often go around and steal players from us, as they did years and years and years ago. Didn't turn out to be much. Fair play to them. But,
to be fair, I think David Molling is speaking about there. I think he probably lied in his birth certificate. So, therefore, in the under 15 age group, he was outstanding because he was about 17.
You know, but Liverpool are a buying club. They see young talent and they're good at it. Don't get me wrong. It's not dissing them, but the way Liverpool people go on is it's annoying to, I think, most of their teams, most of their team fans, you know, and that it's they always do things the right way. They never do things the wrong way. No, you do. You used to fucked up on a number of transfers.
Well, basically, they always claim they're the fucking victims, don't they?
Without saying it, but yeah, that's pretty much it, you know? Like, here's the thing. Like, there was so much talk about the Spurs game where Diaz scored. And I know we're getting off topic. It's not Luton Town. Where Diaz scored and it was given his offside. And the game restarted. And it was... People were talking about it for weeks afterwards. Oh, there's talks of them, you know, challenging legal action and having the game replayed and all this crap. I didn't see that same energy from the Liverpool fans when it was noted on Saturday that they robbed Forrest. Don't get me wrong, I'm thankful they did. First time ever, they robbed Forrest of a point because what happened, and it as a lot of people point out, it's a minute 50 after the incident, but still, like, you're still in possession of the ball when you shouldn't have possession of the ball. The ball should have been given back to Forrest. It should have been, Forrest should have had possession. And you don't know, yeah, I don't ever know how that's going to turn out. But I didn't see the same energy then from Liverpool fans as it was in the Tottenham game. So it's just one of them things with Liverpool.
It's sort of there's a big presence on social media, likes and moan a lot, whatever. Obviously now we can sort of, Liverpool being complaining about injuries, so it's, which I'm going to use it because I'm not going to talk about Liverpool anymore, but they reckon they've got injuries. Our injury list is getting absolutely ridiculous at this point in the season. I think we've got about 4 centre-backs out.
2, I counted. You got Mengi and you got Burke. Osho doesn't look like he's fit if he didn't play the last game.
Out as an injured, not fit.
Yeah, so like we've got 4 out injured, yeah. Is it not more? You got obviously Locks.
Yeah.
On one side. But you've got Osho, you've got Bell, you've got Potts, you've got Anderson. That's 4 straight off the bat.
That's 5 including Locks, yeah.
5 including Locks. You know,
when you play through it back, that's an issue. I mean, you saw against Villa, we put had to drop Doughty in. And Doughty, I'm not saying he did a bad job at centre back, but you just missed him so much on the wing, which is why he made the change at half time.
Yeah, I mean, so we talked about in the group chat and like last podcast we did 2 weeks ago, I said one of the things we're missing is that diagonal ball that Locks used to give us all the time to one of the outlets in the forwards. We didn't have that. Doughty can do that from left center back. But it's not what him doing that there isn't as much of a positive as him on the left wing getting crosses into the box. It just isn't. You like putting him left center back, I understand why Edwards did it, but I think I'll never be overly critical of Rob Edwards. He got us here and he'll forever be remembered for that. But I think he got it wrong there. I think that's the first time I looked at this season and went, he's got a substitution wrong or he's got a move wrong. Like he hasn't done a lot wrong this season.
I think what it was in that one, it was not as much wrong. He thought, okay, let's give that a go. And thought, right, I could try. Benny's trying to attack from the left wing back, which is not as, you know, he's better on the right wing back or right wing. And I think he didn't want to sort of change it too much. Mm-hmm. And what he didn't want to do is throw Heishi on for his debut, sort of, you know, in the first half against Ollie Watkins, who, yes, we gifted him 2 goals. So he probably thought, you don't want to bring him on necessarily that under the cosh. But he did bring him on at half-time, which is after. And in an ass position thing. And he slots in fairly seamlessly. I mean, that second half, until we give them another goal, we were the better team by far. I think they had 2 goals. They scored from 1. 2 efforts scored from 1.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the Villa game. First half was awful, absolutely terrible. And I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, having to reshuffle things when Bell went off after less than 5 minutes. And I don't think necessarily the reshuffle worked as well as Edwards would have liked. I know he says in post-match interviews that he doesn't go in and rant and rave with the players, but I'm sure there was some harsh words.
Well, I think he just tweaked it around a bit, I think.
At halftime by Edwards to the team.
It's not so much formation. The problem is just the basic defending. You've got sort of first goal, Mengi, who's been fantastic all season, decides to allow Ollie Watkins a free header. I don't know what he's doing, just lets him sort of drop off a bit. Ollie Watkins isn't going to miss that if the delivery's right. The second one, yes, it's a clever free kick. It's a quick free kick. But again, it's like the Burnley home game. That's the reason. We weren't awake to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, Ogbene has the whole line to look across. He shouldn't be getting caught for further back in that situation. But, I mean, I know you don't want me talking great about opposition players, but Ollie Watkins has to be a shoe-in to go to the Euros for England at this point. He's had an absolutely amazing season. And I would go as far as saying he should not only be a definite to make the squad for Euros. If England want to do anything in the tournament, I think he needs to start above Harry Kane. Because Harry Kane has shown this season, moving to Germany and what he's done with Tottenham, he's a perennial loser. Like he is. They're 10 points behind in the league with 10 games remaining. Leverkusen would have to... at this point, it wouldn't be Bayern winning the league. It'd be Leverkusen losing it.
Welcome to the German League football podcast.
Right. Realistically, it would be.
I actually hadn't paid any attention to the German League whatsoever, but it's...
So the amount of goals... Bayern averaged 2.70 goals per game last year. This year, they're averaging 2.7 goals per game. Like, he's done nothing for them. He hasn't improved that team at all. You know, and it's shown in the table now because they're 10 points behind Leverkusen. Don't get me wrong, Leverkusen have had an amazing season. But he's a perennial loser. Like, he's brought that losing that built inside him, that Spurs built inside of you. You know, he's brought that to Germany. He's proven it. I think if England want to win, they have to get rid of that perennial loser. That's don't get me wrong. I don't want them to win. Play Harry Kane all you want because I don't think he's a win with him there. But again, the reason why you bring this up is Ollie Watkins has had an absolutely amazing season. He's right behind Haaland in goals scored. He's the only player, I think they said, to have double digits in both goals and assists. Like he's not just like he gets involved with the play, you know. And the first half we gifted him two goals, but at the same point, you have to be aware of that going into the game and what he possesses. But yeah, first half wasn't great.
I'm not going to sit here and discuss England in the Euros mid-season on a losing podcast. That's just completely wrong.
Why not? Well, if we say Barkley for England, will you talk about it then?
Yeah, possibly.
Thought so.
We'll leave that for the Euro 2024 Luton Town additional podcast. I mean, I can come on talk about England. You can come on talk about Ireland. It'd be fine.
Fuck off. Hey, John O'Shea is a manager. We're going places.
Going places? Yeah, what?
Second half. Back further down the fucking FIFA rankings. That's the place we're going.
Well, it's definitely going places. But yeah, I mean, the second half, obviously, change it around. Word on Hashioki. I think for a player who's not played in this country before, well, obviously, came against Man City, it's a bit lightweight there, but looked quite in control otherwise. But I thought he was fantastic coming on at centre-back, position he's unfamiliar with, for his first Premier League game.
Yeah, I mean, I think I read something somewhere when we signed him that he'd played on the right side of the fence in a back three. So in that back three, he's played the right. But he played on the left when he came on. So it's not position that's natural for him. I don't think his left... Well, I know his left foot isn't a natural foot. You just have to watch him play to know that. But he was absolutely fantastic when he came on. And the thing that... I don't know if it's just the games I've seen, I've watched, or what. But when a player comes into a new country, they can be quite timid. And they let the players around them... Hey, do this. Hey, do that. Hey, do this. But you look at him from the moment he came on, he was, hey, you go there. Hey, Doughty, back. You know, he was communicating quite a bit, you know, which was great to see because it just shows that the guy has no fear.
And also, I mean, I think it proves as well, it suggests that we actually need to recruit players quite well, because I said previously, well, a Japanese player coming from Belgium helps communicate to a bunch of Englishmen is
yeah,
the main thing.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, fantastic, absolutely fantastic to see, you know. And he's, I mean, given our injuries, he could be playing there for a while, you know. So it depends on how bad Bell is.
Well, Bell, I think, looked like, well, Bell's, you know, possibly his hamstring coming through there. Anton's obviously out long term. Locks is out very long term. If sort of, you know, if he plays again, Potts seems to be sort of, you know, walking sick note. It's a shame, because I'd like to see him maybe get even a couple of Premier League minutes for getting us here, but it might not to be. Reece Burke, one of our two fit centre backs. Let that sink in.
Yeah, right. It's a little bit shocking, considering how, and it's not only shocking, but it's a little bit worrying, because we know how we all know how injury prone he is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's getting like, remember when everyone was talking about how we need to sign a striker in January? What did I keep saying? We need to sign a defender. We need to sign a defender. And we did, we did.
Yeah, we did sign a defender. We just got a load injured. I mean, I've seen some ridiculous comments. I saw someone moaning about sort of, how's it look, all these injuries, sort of, you know, loaning out Giles, and sort of, you know, why are we not talking about this? And I think, well, I said, number one, their centre-backs have been injured, not full-backs. And number two, Giles does not defend. I think Kabura's defending is kind of questionable.
Yeah.
He's good going forward, given that, but it's defending, I think he's questionable. Giles is kind of like Kabori on really, really bad acid when it comes to defending.
Yeah. I mean, you can never predict the injuries either. And it's just what it is. Like, if you brought Giles back now, what would you do? You'd put Doughty in the center, left center back. You're losing Doughty's crossing. And I know when Giles was signed, it was, he's a great, fantastic crosser of the ball. I didn't see any of that when he was in the side. Doughty's a much better crosser of the ball and much better set pieces than Giles was, that I've seen when Giles did play. So to move Doughty out of position just because, like, we got to find a way of keeping Doughty on the left wing. I think both me and you would agree on that. We need to find a way to keep him out on the left wing, yeah, back wing, whatever it is, because he's our main source of
assists. And I think that was shown by the second goal. The assist, the second goal. It was a superb free kick coming in.
It reminded me a lot of the Everton goal, the goal against Everton that Moore scored as well. It was like a carbon copy of it. But yeah, I mean, I was a little bit disappointed in some of Doughty's corners. I just felt like, I don't know what it was, but it just seemed to fall straight into Martinez's arms, like, every single time. That was a little bit disappointing. But there's no doubt in my mind, he's, without doubt, he's him and Barkley, if we do stay up, are going to be the reasons we stay up.
Yeah.
And Barkley needs help. Badly needs help.
Well, I think you're right. You have a look at the midfield now. We've obviously Nkamba, another injury out long term. Lekonga out, hopefully not for too long, but tweaked hamstring can be a bit tricky. Mm-hmm. Jordan Clark's not a defensive midfielder. Well, he proved that against Man City by coming in and banging two goals against them. Mm-hmm. Very, very good goals, has to be said. One of our goals of the season, but it's not his natural position. But I mean, it's probably the best option you've got coming in there. And again, that's just another thing with the injuries. Even it doesn't stop in midfield. You've got up front, our top scorer goes off injured as well, pulled up in the warm-up. So we base it down to Carlton Morris and Corey Woodrow as the striking options.
Plus, and let's not forget, Woodrow's playing with a broken hand.
Yeah. I mean, Brown's injured as well, so that's another striker out. So that's kind of half a team out injured, plus.
Yeah, I mean, If we do go down this season, like, you don't blame things, you don't blame injuries and stuff like that, because you need a squad to be able to deal with them. But the fact that they've all come at the same time is worrying, to say the least, especially when you look at the next three fixtures that we have, and they're all very, very winnable games. And they're all games, like, I think I was looking at it going 7 points in the next three games is very, very doable.
Yeah, I think last time we said that, we got three or one. So, yeah. So I'm not even going to make predictions on that one.
The thing is, it's doable, but we all know, like, we've been supporting Luton Town for long enough now, Nick, that we know we could turn up on Saturday against Palace and get absolutely annihilated. It's just the Luton way, right?
Well, we could turn up and get beat. I don't think we turn up and get absolutely annihilated.
Well, you know what I mean. Like it's just the Luton way. Like we play so well, and then we come up against the likes of Sheffield United, who are fucking terrible, by the way, and lose. That's us. That's what we do. We spent 5 years in fucking non-league.
Well, the Sheffield United game, because I saw comments, I think, from everyone that said that's the best they played all season, their best performance of the season. I thought that was our worst performance. So it's just the two combined is absolutely horrendously.
Yeah.
And then you look at them since, and they've absolutely given up. I mean, last night was beyond pathetic.
Yeah, I refuse to watch any game where Arsenal have scored 6 goals, unless they lose 7-6. It's weird because I called out for Luton to sign Trusty based on the performances I seen from last season with Birmingham in the Championship. I thought he'd be a good signing for us. I'm fucking glad we didn't now. Jesus Christ, he's terrible. He's absolutely awful. Like he's not been able to make the step up at all. And I think Sheffield United thought they were kind of getting a bargain there, you know, given how he did for Birmingham last season. I think they thought, okay, he can make the step up to the Premier League. Arsenal are willing to let him go. This is perfect scenario for us. But it for whatever reason hasn't worked out, and he's a liability for Sheffield United. But
Sheffield United have actually turned us into the teams of pretty much that we were predicted to be at the start of the season. Everyone says, well, yeah, be some down, beat Derby's
the whipping boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting stuff 5-0 every week, and that's not happened to us. We're still in with a chance.
Yeah,
it's still in our hands.
It's one of the things that a lot of the commentators are saying that I've seen, including the ones that I get over here on American TV. You know, they don't go down without a fight. It's never easy. Even Villa up 2-0 at halftime, I think most people expected them to kind of roll on and win 3-0, 3-1, 4-1, whatever. We came out in that second half and we never gave up. From minute one of the second half, we're getting something out of this game. And then it looked like we were going to, and then the last minute, Kabore pulls an Exeter again. And I mean, it's heartbreaking just because I think you mentioned it a few minutes ago. Up until that moment, he'd been really, really good.
He'd be really good going forward, but I think the defending, he just switched off at the crucial moment.
Yeah, but I mean, the second half, when you look at it, we spent most of the second half on the front foot, and him and Ogbeni on the right, and then Doughty and I can't remember who they brought on. Doughty and Chong, I think it was, on the left. Yeah. They caused Villa problems. You know, they really did. And it was just, from what I hear, he'd been named man of the match. And then literally the ball came across and he loses the header. He loses the header and it's Villa score. He get their third goal. And it's just...
And I think it's one of the few times we mentioned Rob Edwards did not look happy. Rob Edwards said normally keeps his cool there, and I think he was as angry as Rob Edwards gets.
Yeah, and like I posted on the podcast Twitter, you know, it's the hope that kills you, because I didn't at halftime you're just hoping to keep the score down, and then at full time you're sitting there and you're absolutely distraught at the fact that you haven't got something from that game, and that's been our season, Liverpool, Arsenal. You know, it's
our season, especially at home, has been deserved more than we've gotten a lot of games, especially against the big boys.
And that's why these next 3 games are so important, because we got Palace away on Saturday. And yeah. I think we got Bournemouth at home. Is it Bournemouth at home or away?
Bournemouth.
I know home. It's the rearrange.
No, I think it's away this one, I think. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's the rearrange fixture. So I think it's away. Yeah. So we got Forest away, Bournemouth away. And then
we've got Palace away,
Bournemouth away, Forest at home.
Yeah.
And like you look and you kind of go, okay, Forest at home, considering what we did to them at the City Ground, you know, it's a never say die attitude, but we need to pick up some points there. And more importantly, because it'll put pressure on not as much Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth are kind of out of it now. But Palace and Forest will put pressure on them down and around us.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get the points there, you can close Palace onto that one. The Forest game is absolutely huge, because obviously you can cut the gap there, and they've got the potential points deduction looming as well.
Yeah, I heard somewhere that it doesn't look like it's going to be finalized, giving appeals and everything else until after the season ends, which, yeah,
which is absolutely just stupid. That's an absolutely ridiculous situation. I think everyone recognised that. So it's, I mean, I think the Premier League are probably hoping any points deduction doesn't really affect who gets relegated or not. Because if it does, and there's appeals, they've got a big, big issue going on there.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? The Premier League are basically just crossing their fingers and going, fuck, let's hope for the best here, lads. That's not a solution.
No.
Closing your eyes, crossing your fingers, and crossing a road when there's cars coming up and down is not a solution. That's not how you do it. You know? It's. I mean...
Well, what makes it even worse is, so Everton have got potentially another points deduction. So, obviously, that puts them right back down into it as well. So, you could have sort of... I mean, okay, I don't think it's going to affect the bottom two.
No. No, yeah.
But then there's sort of any appeal and points deduction, right? Say, for example, in no particular order, it finishes, so if, you know, after deductions, so if, you know, Forest, Everton, us. Now, basically, if there's any sort of, you know, appeals on those, that could change the one relegation place.
Mm-hmm. The Premier League cannot, like, we talk about it down near Rose, and we've talked about it on the podcast, and we've talked about it with each other for the other end of the table, but they absolutely cannot. The Premier League cannot leave this shit until the end of the season, and then just, as I said, cross our fingers and pray and hope. They just can't. You know, it's making a mockery of your league, you know? And don't get me wrong, like, so the Premier League, often called the best league in the world, and you understand why. It's not for technical talent all the time. The best technical talent isn't always necessarily in the Premier League, but it's the most entertaining.
It's the most hype.
It's the most hype. But it is in, like, it's the most entertaining when you're watching it as well, unless you're watching City play just passing the ball around for fucking 90 minutes. But it's the most entertaining. I watched, and we often talk about the poor levels of officiating and the way the league's run and everything else. I watched Real Madrid versus Valencia on Saturday. And when I say I've seen the worst refereeing decision I've ever seen in my life, it was absolutely out of this world. I could not believe it happened. Like, I literally, like, had to wind back and make sure that this actually happened, in that the ball comes in from a corner, Valencia clear it. He doesn't blow the whistle when Valencia clear it. A Real Madrid player gets the ball, moves on to the, goes out to the right wing, crosses the ball. As his foot hits the ball and crosses it, the ball is in the air. The referee blows his whistle because time is up. Now, why is this important? Because Real Madrid then stuck the ball in the back of the net, which would have won them the game. And it was like, I can't believe it's not being talked about anywhere. Like, it was just mind-blowing. And we talk about refereeing decision all the time. Like, it's not just the Premier League. It's throughout the whole world. And I think, not to get on referees, but watching Vincent Kompany's interview the other day made a lot of sense. And I know they're probably already down Burnley. And I like Vincent Kompany. He's always been very respectful of us. But it made a lot of sense, the stuff he said. And he wasn't, like, yelling and shouting and, you know, he wasn't like mad. He was very, very calm when he was talking about it. And the Premier League, when you have that level of officiating, can then not be even worse and say, hey, we're going to leave this points deductions up until the end of the season and hope and pray that it's all just sorted out. And even the point deductions we give them won't mean anything. You can't. It's fucking ridiculous.
Well, I think, I don't know, without meaning to defend referees, obviously I'm not going to defend them at all, but I do wonder if the problem is the rules change so often to such an extent, does anybody know the rules anymore? I mean, I think there's one in the Man City game. Okay, it's unusual for a referee, not since Trevor Kettle, I think we've had it, for referees to get sort of called out by name by the crowd. But he definitely was. But there were basically, so there were grapples with Haaland, who basically Mengi was getting punished for. Identical with Carlton Morris, it's play on. And I think there was one, I think it was the same game. There was one of their players was fouled. The referee played on for advantage, played on, realised a bit after a bit there's not going to be advantage, and pulled it back. I thought that was a rugby ball.
And, like, we talked about the inconsistent, like, the rules are in black and white. It's left up to interpretation. And anytime you do that, you're going to get problems with consistency. You just are. It's just the nature of the beast. You know, and that's one of the things that Kompany talked about. You know, the inconsistencies. Like, this is a foul, but this isn't. Why? It's the exact same thing. Like, you watch us versus Man City in the cup. And as you said, Mengi and Haaland tussling with each other. Now, Haaland easily fucking beat him, you know. Mengi had a nightmarish night. But every time the referee was calling up Mengi for a foul. But then you look at, and I know you're going to kill me for this, but you look at the Manchester derby on Sunday and you watch Varane or Evans go up against Haaland. They're doing the exact same thing, but no free kick's been given.
Well, that was because it was the B version of Haaland. I mean,
well, yeah, he missed him 2 fucking yards. He didn't do that against those prick.
No, he bloody didn't, did he? So.
But we can talk about, like, and we have talked about before, big club bias. But at the end of the day, it's referee interpretation, right? And yeah, because the rules aren't black and white, they interpret it two different ways.
Well, I did put this question about big club bias. I think I put it onto one of the Facebook pages, and it was, I said, right, is it imagination? And yeah, you've got our fans, the Burnley fans, the Bournemouth, your Fulhams, your Forests, saying, yeah, it definitely seems to be a thing. The Liverpool fans predictably saying it's anti-Liverpool bias. And then the other sort of, you know, the glory hunters basically saying it's, no, there's no such thing.
Yeah, and I mean, there definitely is. I mean, you just have to look at a game and look at, we go back to the weekend, take Liverpool and Forest. Okay? Now, I haven't watched the full game, but I've watched pieces of it. And you see the referee talking to Liverpool players, and he's calling them by their first names. But yet, when he's talking to the Forest players, he's calling them by the names on the back of their shirts.
I mean, what I think you should do, if the referee's going to do that, next time the referee's us, he should be made to speak to Elijah Adebayo by his absolute full name.
Yes, agreed. But no, you get what I'm saying. Like why is that? It's because they know the Liverpool players. They don't know, like, okay, Forest have been in the league 2 years now, but they don't know the, like...
Well, yeah, because they change the players, they change the entire squad every year, don't they?
Well, that too, yeah. But it's, like, it's ridiculous. You're either going to... You refer to players as one way, you know? If you're going to refer to one set of team players by their first name, then you need to know the other team's players' first names. Now, that could get difficult with some players and some names, but, I mean, that's your big club bias. The referees know these big-time players, and you look at them, and it's just like, yeah. I still think interpretation has a lot to do, and I still think that hinders a lot of the decisions. But at the end of the day, the one thing is that if everything was black and white and everything was, this is a foul, this isn't a foul, and that's how it's going to be, there'd be no debating it. There'd be no us sitting here talking about it. There would be nothing like that because there'd be nothing to talk about. Every decision would be right.
Yeah, which is what VAR is there for, except that doesn't get it right either.
Except that doesn't work either.
But I mean, just one final comment on the referees. It's obviously we've seen referees through the conference, the Football League, Premier League, and thinking, right, always the referees are awful, referees are much better. Then in the sort of Championship, you've got Premier League referees thinking, oh God, this is going to be trouble because they think the game's on them. The ones in the Premier League haven't been exactly great yet. It gets to an international tournament, and the English refs are normally the only ones who are half decent in the tournament, the odd Italian. But there's some shocking referees in World Cups and some, you know, European Championship finals. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do referees actually look by and large better than some, you know, the rest of the continental ones, but absolutely shit moves, you know, in our games?
I just gave you the point from the Real Madrid Valencia game. That's how. It's the standard, unfortunately, the world over. You know, referees are just... I don't want to... Referees are people who couldn't make it in the game.
Okay, yeah. Probably fair. And then you get some...
But you want to talk about Palace? Are you going to Palace?
I'm going to Palace. I'm not making any predictions on it whatsoever. I am going...
You're not getting me a program either?
No, I'm not getting a fucking program. I've not bought one for years. You get an electronic version.
Nick is the most superstitious person I've ever met in my entire life. He does not record podcasts on the day of games. Will not do it. That's why we record. That's why we recorded every 2 weeks for a while. Because we
actually on that one, I'm going to point out on that one. I'm just going to shame Alex because he knows this, so he decides to deliberately try and jinx it. Then there's a draw by saying doing a podcast. And then he was saying for every game after, and it's the last four times he said it, or five times, we've lost every single game.
See what I mean, so people? Superstitious. I'm sticking up for Alex. That's how bad it is. Guys, the guy is superstitious to hell.
There's just, it's everyone, football fans, you have these little superstitions going on. I'm not generally there, but just on football. And the other thing, notice with Alex as well, if he goes to sleep for the second half of a game, we play well. If he sleeps for a game, we win. If he's up there watching it, we lose. So basically, the love of God, Alex, sleeps through the rest of the season.
We can only hope. We can only hope. But yeah, he's so, you're so superstitious that Nick, will not buy a program because the last time you bought a program, we lost.
I think the last time I bought a program for you.
For me. It's not for anyone else. It's just for me. I'm the bad luck charm.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, bought two. I think it's bought. I think we drew that one actually, but it was. So you get program, and then I think it stayed in my house for about 6 years, and it's sort of, you know, I moved house, and it sort of never got there. So I thought, well, what's the point?
So this program I didn't even get. It's still my fault.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but I mean, I've not bought one for years, so just thinking, well, what's the point? It's just kind of getting away there. A little sick gathering dust. And everything's electronic on the programs now anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Palace, like, I know you're not going to make a prediction, but barring the obvious injuries, do you see there being many changes?
I don't think there can be many changes. Mm. I mean, yeah. I think you can have. I think Hashioka is going to come in for Bell because there's not really much choice.
Push Doughty back out to the left.
Yeah.
What do you do with Ogbeni? Bench.
He was on the bench, so he's either going to be on the bench or he's going to come in. So, if, you know, I would say for Chong potentially, but Chong's kind of was playing that sort of central but then drift wide type thing with the pace going through. Townsend doesn't quite have the same pace come through, but Townsend is playing against his former club as well. I think there's quite a lot to be said about that.
Yeah, there definitely is. And I think if you're gonna want crossing anyway, decent crossing from the other side, then I think Townsend needs to be in the side. Kabore's crossing wasn't great. I've spoken on this show before, as much as I love Ogbeni, his crossing is fucking woeful. I think if you want crosses into the box, you gotta get Townsend in there, because he'll be the one. You can give him an option by Ogbeni or Kabore, whoever's playing right back, overlapping and letting him cut back inside his left and whipping it in. But I think for crossing reasons, I think he probably needs to be in the team.
Well, I think Ogbeni is also sort of, you know, not saying that's sort of, you know, playing there permanently, but sort of, you know, doesn't hurt to give him a slight rest and have him as a substitute to bring on, because a substitute to bring on, a player's tiring, that's a hell of a substitute.
Yeah. Especially when, yeah, as you said, especially when Palace are tired, his pace will kill him. Absolutely kill him. I wouldn't mind seeing him on the left with Doughty. I wasn't impressed by Chong up until the point he scored the goal. I think that was the first probably decent thing he did in the game.
Oh, I thought Chong was causing issues, and I think he's been playing well for a few weeks.
I don't know. It's probably just me, but I wasn't impressed by him. And I think we've spoke about it. We need to find a solution to the defensive midfield problem.
Yeah, which, so if you're short of playing Pelly, who's I don't look, Pelly is due a banger at some point.
He is. He really is.
He's not going to hit from central defence in midfield, but
I'd feel a lot more comfortable, if I'm being honest, if we didn't have defensive problems and we only had defensive midfielder problems, I'd feel a lot more comfortable with Osho playing in there than I would Pelly.
But he's injured as well. But it's
that's what I'm saying. If we didn't have the defensive injuries that we had and everyone was fit defensively, I'd move Osho into that role and play a back three of Mengi, Burke, Bell. Everyone was fit, obviously. Because
I think we don't have too many options.
We don't.
I think your main option is going to be right back, whether you go Kabore, whether you go Ogbeni. So I think you'll probably go Kabore.
Do you think he goes Kabore? Or, like, because we talked about he was pissed. Do you think Kabore sits and gets taught a lesson?
Potentially. I said it's right. He said, right, this, I reckon he might say, right, do not lose your players to there. So I think then brings him on, because he was quite good going forward. So I think that's sort of, it might be a case of, right, you've just come back into the team. He's been out for about 5 weeks. So call it business. Here it is. Don't do that again.
Yeah.
And obviously, as much as I hate speaking about other clubs, I'm now going to do that briefly just to mention Pelly, because I did see earlier there was a mention of a player called Pell. Now, he plays for AFC Wimbledon, who played the franchise at the weekend. The AFC Wimbledon fans, if you've not seen this, not the AFC, the franchise fans, are complaining because in the warm-up, this player Pell aimed 10 shots at them behind the goal.
All two of them?
Hmm?
All two of them?
Yeah, all two of them, apparently, but it's... But yes, he was. They're going to complain or make a formal complaint because apparently he was targeted in the warm-up by trying to smash shots into them. I've got to say, sign this guy up.
Yeah, get a whip around going. What's that website called?
Hmm?
GoFundMe?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to set one up for this guy. That's next level shit. That's Danny Hilton level shit. That's what that is.
Oh, I saw that. I thought that's absolutely superb. I'm sorry, that's superb by any standards.
We should also point out that the franchise lost to AFC Wimbledon in that game from a last minute goal by an Irishman, no less. And if you haven't seen the celebrations, you should get on Twitter and see the celebrations because they were absolutely amazing.
Yeah, the thing that surprised me about that was the fact he was actually playing down in League Two.
I mean, as Roy Keane has often pointed out, we don't have the top tier talent. Like we're literally like, you look at Ireland's squad when it gets announced and count the amount of championship players in it and below.
The thing is, he was a League One player, but he was actually something like a bit top Portsmouth top scorer for God knows how many seasons, I think, or up there. Crazy thing, people saying, okay, there's a championship player, and then our next blinks and he's, he's League popping two. Up in League Two.
Yeah, that tends to be what happens. Yeah, but we won't make this the Ireland podcast because I'll get too depressed.
Yeah, we'll wait for the Euros for that game.
Yeah, we'll wait for the Euros that we're not in. Yeah. Speaking of which, did you see the Women's Euro 2025 qualifying draw? France, no. England, Sweden, and Ireland. France, England, Sweden, and Ireland all in the same fucking group. Like, someone just hates us. If there is a God, he hates us. He hates Irish people.
I've got no idea how any good some of the other ones are. I know England apparently get to, you know, a few finals and semi-finals.
That's the only thing is win. You need to pay more attention to that, Nick. That's the only thing is you win.
I think I watched the final of the Euros or World Cup or whatever it was last year.
Singing football's coming home, weren't you?
No, I watched it because I think, okay, the pub's open at 11:30.
I think we should end it there.
Yeah, I think so.